gonna learn me some things?
Yes. One second.
Them goob docs.
Okay. Oh wow, I'm getting some really great light. There. Oh,
you look fantastic, kid.
Thank you. I know. hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
Why did you take so long to respond?
I didn't, Miranda. I think that's the lag.
Oh, gross.
I'm sorry.
That is the longest lag I've ever heard. Right? So if you couldn't tell, we are recording a little bit differently than we normally do. Ashlyn is out of town, so we are having to do a Zoom recording. So
I couldn't get the microphone to actually work on the computer. So we're having fun with that.
So yes, that's a lot of fun.
Everything I need to fix it is back in Kansas City. So that's super fun.
Yeah. So sorry if the audio for this episode sucks, but this is how it's got to be.
I think yours will be fine.
Yeah. Mine's always fine. No, I'm just kidding.
Mine's always fantastic. Thank you.
Are you having a good week?
Yeah, I think so. Mostly it's been going to work and then coming back and being a hermit in a hotel room. So
so slightly different change of scene instead of
and less talking to people. That's something I usually get when when I'm traveling, is like I realize how little I naturally talk to people, but like especially when I'm away from like everyone else.
Yeah. I have not done much different this past week. I have started like cooking actual meals at home.
Oh
yeah. On Monday, really quick. I just looked up some like vegetarian recipes that were pretty easy to throw together. And then I actually wrote down the ingredients that I needed and how to make them. And I went to the store, got everything I needed for the week, and actually made meals Monday through Thursday this past week.
That's awesome.
And at least one of them was a big hit. At least one. They're not all winners.
But, he should be grateful he gets any home business.
Exactly. We're getting a little feedback on your end, but it'll be fine.
I'm sorry. Otherwise, it'll sound like I'm underwater.
Yeah. We have to live with what we have. Gotta live with what we got. Alrighty.
Like change of scenery.
I figured we could get on into it. Ashlyn, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, what'll you tell me?
Kansas City's Haunted Hotel Savoy.
Ooh.
So let me start by saying, I'm sorry I'm covering another hotel right after I just did one.
But they're haunted, yo.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so like I was going to cover the Elisa Lam case, but I didn't have the emotional capacity to do that this week. So then I looked up haunted places in Kansas City, and there are hotels aplenty.
Yes, there are.
Buckle up. First,
I wonder if my hotel's haunted.
I highly doubt it.
I haven't seen any ghosts yet. I'll let you know if I do.
It doesn't seem like a really old building.
It's not.
So, a brief history. The Savoy Hotel is the oldest continuously operational hotel in the United States west of the Mississippi River.
Really? That's actually really cool.
And I never heard of this place before.
I have, actually.
Yeah. Oh, well, I had it. Kansas City's Hotel Savoy was originally built in 1888. It was built by the owners of the Arbuckle Coffee Company. Fun fact.
Arbuckle's- Sorry, you said Arbuckle, and I keep thinking of... like John Arbuckle from Garfield.
Well, funny that you mentioned that. I don't think the guy from Garfield is actually named after this, but fun fact, Arbuckle's coffee began in the post-Civil War era of the 19th century when brothers John and Charles Arbuckle initiated a new concept for the coffee industry. They wanted to sell pre-roasted coffee in 1-pound packages. You see, until that time, Coffee was sold green and had to be roasted in a skillet over a fire or in a wood stove and was super easy to burn.
See, like people, that's the interesting.
And then if you burnt it, it was like ruined and you just had to throw it out and you were out all that money. So the Arbuckle brothers were able to roast a coffee that was of consistently fine quality and the first to be packaged in 1 pound bags. Fun fact.
See, that's actually something that we don't talk about a lot, like anyone in Kansas City really, but coffee
we have a pretty good coffee industry.
Coffee industry. It's kind of weird. Because you don't hear about that a lot in the United States, you know?
That's true. Yeah, we don't have a lot of coffee roasters here in Kansas City. Like a scary
we've got the roastery.
We have the roastery, we have Coffee Cats, we have Kansas City Coffee Company.
Yeah, and like
we got a ton. It's very strange.
And they actually make
and these are individual roasters,
not coffee houses.
Yeah, these are individual roasters and they sell them like in stores and stuff. Anywho, off the coffee train, because that literally had nothing to do with anything except for the owners of the hotel. So the hotel was a 6-floor red brick building and once again was built in 1888 in a European Italian Renaissance design. The lobby has or had, because it's been renovated, so I don't know, 18-foot ceilings with Art Nouveau. That's probably Nouveau. I'm uncultured. Stained glass windows and hand-laid Italian tiles.
Fancy.
Yes. In 19... So this sounds like you're not listening or not interested because of the delay. And it's just making really... It's making me self-conscious.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm interested and I'm engaging. I promise.
I wonder what this is going to sound like on the recording.
It'll sound like what you hear, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to cut out so many awkward pauses.
I'm sorry.
In 1903, the original hotel was remodeled. West Wing was added, featuring the Savoy Grill dining room. Mm-hmm. The Savoy Grill is and was the oldest restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes. Okay. Actually, that's why I've heard of it. I've been in the Savoy restaurant.
Ah!
So,
Hang on. I have stories. What were you going to say?
I was going to talk about my story at the Savoy.
Were you going to tell facts about the Savoy? Because
no, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Then continue.
No, it was when my friend and I were doing a New Year's Eve party. We started off.
Mm-hmm.
We had like one drink at the Savoy because she her sister knows like all of the like cool bars basically because she's a bartender around Kansas City. Yeah, and so we went to the Savoy to have a drink there and we didn't have reservations, like we couldn't stay, but it's like you walk in like past a curtain and everything, and then there's like this entire, it's not quite speakeasy like, but it's somewhat akin to it.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that in just a second, actually. So the Savoy restaurant is still operational to this day. Ashland is case in point. It's worthy noting that the grill started out as a men's only club, like kind of restaurant, as evidenced by the lack of E at the end of grill, but quickly changed to co-ed with the arrival of the flapper. Apparently back in the day, establishments that allowed women added the feminine E at the end of grill.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That's I never heard that before. And I was like, oh, so maybe that's why you grill with an E and sometimes you see grill without an E. Fun fact. I learned all kinds of fun things researching this.
Is that why grills are like so associated with fathers?
Maybe.
Did someone come out with like a line of grills that were meant for women and like
it has an E on the end
and they have an E at the end?
Maybe. I really don't know. So
your feminine outdoor parties
in the early 1900s, the Savoy was a luxury destination for travelers arriving by train in Kansas City. It was the first hotel seen by travelers as they entered the city from the old Union Depot. The Union Depot was the original station folks traveling to Kansas City would come into before Union Station was built in 1914, replacing it. That was a lot.
Yeah.
So, however, the hotel fell into disrepair However, the hotel fell into despair in the 1930s. Like many hotels at the time, cough, cough, just like the Cecil Hotel that we covered a couple weeks ago.
Weird.
It's like the 1930s like the was Great like really Depression hard was depressing. On people. We said that the same time.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it worked out. So during this time, the hotel shifted into more like suburban living instead of businessmen, like just traveling through. The restaurant remained open during all of this, though. Luckily,
yeah, that makes sense.
Luckily, the Savoy was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in on December 30th, 1974.
Oh.
The renovation of the hotel into a bed and breakfast began in 1985. So that renovation project,
fairly
recent. Yeah, was undertaken by owner Don Lee. Lee had purchased the Savoy Grill in 1960 and the Savoy and the entire Savoy Hotel in 1965. So I guess he owned only the restaurant half for 5 years and then bought the rest of it.
Kind of makes sense. It's a fairly large building, actually. I think there's also like a little art display thing going on as
that's,
well.
That's new. That's new.
So yeah.
During, it's like a little I'll talk about that in a second.
Museum thing. I'm sorry.
So during the renovation, care was taken to preserve original pieces of the hotel that were still in usable condition, including the original reception desk and stained glass artwork. The Savoy Grill also still includes the original carved oak bar, high beamed ceilings, murals painted in 1903 by Edward Holslag, and the famous booth number 4, which was apparently frequented by Harry and Bess Truman.
Oh,
Harry S. Truman, who made frequent visits over his lunch hour when he was the owner / operator of the downtown haberdashery, which a haberdashery is a place where they sell men's accessories.
Yes. Yes. I'm aware.
I learned that from my Carly.
Yes, I know. We all learned it from my Carly, Miranda.
Booth number 4, however, was otherwise known as the presidential booth or the president's booth, because it had also been host to Warren Harding, Harry S. Truman, Gerald Ford, and even Ronald Reagan.
Hmm.
During Prohibition, instead of removing the bar, they simply hung drapes to conceal it and went along with business as usual, proving that nobody actually cared about Prohibition.
Well, especially in Kansas City, let's be honest. Like they're really here.
Especially, Kansas City was a little bit of a dark, seedy place at the time.
Kansas City was run by the actual mob during Prohibition.
They really were. I want to talk about Union Station eventually.
And the big please do. Honestly.
Yeah.
I could go on about Kansas City during Prohibition. So pretty much
proving that nobody in Kansas City cared about the Prohibition. Okay, so the Grill's slogan in the 1960s and the 1970s was the Savoy Grill, a new, different, and exciting restaurant over 60 years old. Which, in my opinion, calling it new after 60 years is kind of humorous.
Yeah.
A little ironic to be like, a new, exciting place over 60 years old. In 1990, the restaurant manager at the Savoy Grill was murdered by a dishwasher on the second floor. Apparently, the dishwasher stabbed him to death. Allegedly, over 10 to 15 cartons of cigarettes.
I'm just... the tone of voice with which you said those things. Like, you just went from facts about the Savoy to... he kind of just, like...
Well, that's the only, like... That's the only, like, confirmed murder that's happened there. So it wasn't going to be with the hauntings. You already know it's haunted. I said that right off the bat.
Well, yeah.
But so I wasn't going to put it with the hauntings. That's the only confirmed murder that I could find there.
Confirmed.
Well, we'll get into that, okay?
Was it Melder?
Melder. Sabotage?
Do you know what anyway? Sorry, that's just completely different.
On October 23rd, 2014, A major fire destroyed the kitchen of the Savoy Grill. The restaurant area was not destroyed, but did sustain significant smoke damage. The fire had apparently been caused by a cook who was not paying attention. And the restaurant was closed down. The hotel was evacuated.
Oh, geez.
So the Hotel Savoy closed in 2016 with plans to reopen in 2018. So it has reopened, and it's actually reopened under a different name and has been transformed into 21C Kansas City.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the Savoy Grill is still called the Savoy Grill, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But it is the hotel, the Savoy Hotel, under the guise of 21C Kansas City, has an art gallery, I guess, around it or something, or part of it is now an art gallery. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. It's basically like a little museum you can walk through. It's actually really nice. Really cool.
It boasts 120 rooms and suites. And that is it for the fun facts. for the background, not the fun facts. There's always fun facts.
There's plenty of fun facts, you know, ghosts.
Dead people.
But yeah, no, I feel, to clarify, when I visited there briefly, it was the New Year's Eve right before 2020.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right before everything started.
Everything
sucking.
Hit the fan. Yay.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, that might be my last, like, super fond memory.
Hey, I've been here this whole time. Started the podcast. Isn't a fun memory for you?
I'm at pre-COVID.
Fine. Okay, I'm done. So now.
Oh, gosh.
What?
Sorry. I was looking through documentaries earlier today, and things like that. And
do any of these
one of it was like this, not to this point technically, but no, it was the description of one over the Spanish flu. And it said, researching into the pandemic and how it was like one of the first apocalypses and killed so many people, and also delving into like if this could ever happen again. And like I looked at when it was posted, and it was posted in like March of 2019, and I was like, I just kind of like spent a while laughing about that.
And that's when we went,
yes, all right. It can happen again, apparently.
So now we're going to get into the hauntings.
Yes.
With a hotel and restaurant as old as this one, there are sure to be some past patrons, presidents still playing around. I had to.
You're having so
I'm pretty
much
sure
fun
I used the term. I know. I'm pretty sure I used the term with a such and such as old as this. There are sure to be. I'm pretty sure I use that in every haunting I've talked about. I'm the worst.
So, I want to hear about some new ghosts, Miranda. Come on.
Actually, I found quite a bit of activity here at the Savoy, which was great because normally places are like, this is so haunted. And then zero ghost stories, you know, or like zero sightings and stuff. I mean, can you tell me then how is it haunted? Because you gave me one ghost.
You tell me it was haunted. I want some haunts.
I want some spoops. Thank you. So according to squeezeboxcity.com, quote, in 1922, a 16-year-old boy named Claude Knock Jr. was hired as an elevator operator. After only a couple weeks of employment, he forgot to set the lever correctly. The elevator car started to rise, and he jumped after it, missing the car and breaking his neck at the bottom of the shaft. People apparently reported weird talking instead of music in the elevator. Workers would shrug it off, but were wary to tell them that they had absolutely no sound system in there.
Dude, that poor guy.
Yeah, apparently one night, a clerk who denied any sort of supernatural shenanigans was looking white-faced when the author of the article approached him for change. They joked that the clerk looked like he had seen a ghost, but the clerk didn't answer. Yeah. They turned back to look at the clerk, and the clerk finally responded. When I heard the voice, he said, it sounded like a teenage boy. yeah. So, and this part is a direct quote. The author said, "I know." I tossed back at him over my shoulder, feeling devilish in my glee that the great skeptic was flummoxed. It's Claude. That was a direct quote. That was so. Yes, most famously is haunted room 505. As the story goes, in the late 1800s, Betsy Ward lived and died in room 505 of the hotel. One story tells that she committed suicide in the bathtub. Another one claims that someone else was involved in her death. And a turn of the century 32 caliber pistol was supposedly found sealed in the wall when the apartment was renovated.
Allegedly.
Hotel guests and staff have heard strange voices, seen shadows, and heard doors open and close on their own in and around room 505.
See, that's funny because that's not a typical haunted room number. Like, there's one room number in hotels that apparently some hotels
they're like always avoid haunted. Like 213,
yeah,
something.
I think it's 315 actually,
yeah, something like that,
which is funny because this hotel doesn't have a 315. I'm in 328.
Don't tell people where you are.
I noticed that earlier.
Slowly but surely just like narrowing down where she's staying, my gosh. Once again, details I found at squeezeboxcity.com. They had some good stuff there. Quote, a couple that had come to the Savoy specifically to ghost hunt requested room 502. They set up a recorder in the bathroom and left to take pictures throughout the halls. When they returned, they listened to the recording and returned to the front desk terrified and pleading to change rooms. I listened to the recording myself the next day, centipedes rolling on my spine. The contents I cannot repeat here because of the incredibly violent nature, but at the end of what sounds like a scene from a movie, there is an unmistakable splash of something heavy being dropped into water. Unquote. So
sounds like great sound effects.
Yeah. So there are some discrepancies on which room was actually Betsy Ward's room. Most say it was 505, but some say it had to be 502 because 505 supposedly already had a long-term resident living there. So it's either 505 or 502, but everyone says 505 is haunted. It's probably all haunted.
Maybe it's both.
Both. So speaking of which, stories also arose in the 1990s regarding a Mr. Larry Freeman who supposedly also resided in room 505. I have three incidences that I found reported on hauntedhouses.com. The first being titled Larry Freeman's Bathroom. So apparently in September 1990 in apartment number 505, which had apparently been newly renovated, allegedly.
Of course.
Oh, great. The kids came back.
No, Miranda. The upstairs is just haunted.
No, definitely our niece's voice I just heard. So I apologize if there's lots of noise in this audio recording.
No, there was just like a creak of the stairs.
Okay, so starting that quote over. Quote, he had gotten out of the shower bathtub, leaving the curtain open that hangs around the bathtub. That is a weird sentence. Anywho, while he was brushing his teeth, he heard the water running in the shower. And when he turned around, the curtain was wide open as well. What?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I feel like this wasn't well reported because it says leaving the curtain open. And then he turned around and the curtain was wide open. Yeah, because you left it open.
Weird. Weird.
I think they meant to say whatever the opposite, that he left it, the curtain was in. Apparently, this happened three more times in succession. I don't know. So apparently, this happened three more times in succession. In between each incident, Larry turned off the faucet tightly and closed the curtain. So apparently, he closed the curtain and it kept opening.
Oh, gotcha.
There we go. He ran to the manager after the fourth time. So the second incident is titled Second incident in Larry's apartment. Some great titles. So according to the website, Sean Burns, the manager, also had a fifth floor apartment. As he was walking past Larry's apartment number 505, he heard jazz music playing and thought Larry was home. He met Larry, however, in the lobby as Larry was coming home from work and told him of the music. It turned out that the music wasn't coming from Larry's misset clock radio, but from the flip-on radio by his washing machine, which was always set to classic rock and roll station, as it was in the morning when Larry had been listening to it. The knob on the radio had been turned all the way over to the jazz station and had been flipped on. No one else had a key to apartment number 505 but Larry and Sean. And the third story. The third incident in Larry's apartment. You've got great titles. According to the site, a few months later, when sleeping, Larry always closed the sliding oak door, gravity tilted to keep it shut. That was between his bedroom and living room. One night, around 11:30, he heard the door slide open and no one was there. The apartment had no signs of break-in and the outer door was still locked. It is theorized that the ghost in Larry's number 505 apartment could have been, according to Miss Barber, a longtime resident, Betsy Ward, who was a lady who died in bed from a heart attack. So apparently Betsy Ward just making a reappearance with a different theory of her demise. So
they keep great records, I hear.
Betsy Ward, apparently. A lot of things happen to her.
No, but seriously, if I was in a hotel room and like a door I'd closed suddenly came open.
You gone?
I'm out.
I'm gone. Need a different room, need a different hotel. Just expense it. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, what do you think I'm doing now?
Fancy. Well, they sent you there, so they deserve it. okay, so
their fault I'm here.
Yes. So there's also allegedly a man in a purple jacket in the basement who wears a plumed hat and roams the shadows. One night, the manager was scared out of his wits when he saw him, the man in the purple jacket, walking around the corner, purple jack corners flapping as he strode. The manager said, quote, "One day I saw a guest sitting at booth 4. In the time it took me to walk the 15 feet over, the guest had literally disappeared."
You know, I feel like I've done that to some people. Usually I just appear randomly at their sides and
we need to put a
I wasn't trying to be sneaky. In fact, I tried to make my presence known. But they just turn and they're like, "What the heck are you doing here?" And I'm like, "I've been here for like 5 minutes, guys.
I don't know, walk heavier."
I'm already clumsy as all heck. The last thing we need to do is add weight to it.
So guests within the Imperial room hear the click of high heels, yet we're still alone. A man once disappeared out a door that had been drywalled over in a room known as the Pendergast room, which I don't know. That sounds like a room I want to go to.
Right.
And once a guest had a hotel employee listen to a recording where their name was said very clearly by someone who was not there. Love that.
Super fun.
Yeah. So also from hauntedhouses.com, the quote, 1987 sighting of Spirit of Fred.
That sounds like something you would write.
Okay, so Reed Shaylor was a young waiter who lived on the third floor. And while visiting his friend Kathy, who worked at the lobby desk in her fourth floor apartment, they had a visit from Miss Leiter, who lived across the hall from Kathy. So they're all just hanging out. She asked to borrow a cup of sugar. Since Kathy didn't have any, Reed got a cup from his apartment. So Miss Leiter asked Kathy for a cup of sugar. Kathy didn't have one. Reed went up to his apartment to get one and then went to Mrs. Leiter's door. He heard her talking to someone, while he knocked on the door. Reed then pushed the door open and saw a man standing right beside her who was wearing a 1930s double-breasted suit. The man was very gray and in an outline form, but could be seen very clearly. Then he disappeared. Kathy, who was standing behind Reed, saw him too. Mrs. Leiter said, "That's my dead husband, Fred."
You know, just
casual.
Don't worry, he's cool.
It's really casual. So this one last.
While we're at it, I'm also dead.
Yeah. So we have one last story from that site as well. Ooh. It's called Reed's Spectral Admirer. So once again from Reed, for about a month after the first, you know, the sighting of Fred, Reed would come home from work and find cassettes and record albums that had already been put away, laid out on his bed, like someone was trying to decide what to listen to. Also during the night, it was extremely cold in his apartment, and every morning Reed locked his closet wardrobe. Every afternoon when he came home, it would be unlocked. Every Sunday morning, in the Catholic tradition, Reed would light candles. When he came back from church, the candles would be blown out. It is theorized that Fred Leiter, or Leitner, sorry, I may have been saying the name wrong.
You've been saying Leiter the entire time.
That Fred Leitner, the dead husband, took a liking to Reed because he got his wife the cup of sugar that she asked for, thus came to visit him in his apartment on the third floor.
Aww.
So that's kind of funny that that Fred the ghost.
You held so much. Like,
hey, what's up, man? I'm just going to strew your stuff everywhere.
I'm just going to be a mild inconvenience for you for the rest of your life, which is exactly how friends work.
Because we're friends now, right? Okay. According to MissouriHauntedHouses.com, EVP...
Unless it's another door.
No, I think it's the same one. It was 11:30 at night. Again. According to MissouriHauntedHouses.com, EVPs have also been captured along with photos that have shown orbs and apparitions. A little ghostly girl wearing Victorian-style clothing has been spotted on the fourth floor. The elevator is known to get stuck on the fourth floor pretty often, or it will send passengers to the sixth floor instead when they push the fourth floor button. Also on the fourth floor is the ghost of a man whose apartment used to be on the fourth floor. Don't know anything about him, but apparently he's there.
Did you know in Chinese, I believe it's Chinese, the number four is like the same symbol for death?
Oh, lovely.
And so they don't like the number four for that reason.
Do they like skip the number four on like buildings? Like we do the 13?
I don't know if they skip the number on buildings, but I do know they skip the number sometimes.
Because there's like a lot of apartment buildings and hotels in the United States that skip floor 13.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
So I could see them leaving four off.
I used to work on the 13th floor. That's good.
Did you actually work there?
Yeah, I worked there for like 3 years.
Or were you just a figment of someone's imagination?
I mean, it did kill me on the inside. So
oh
there's
my God. Okay, so our last fact, our last fun little thing. Remember the second floor where the restaurant manager was murdered?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently, guests and staff have reported the feeling of being followed or watched on the second floor. The end.
Okay. That-
So I tried to look up where the little girl in Victorian garb came from. No clue. But there's several different sites mention her. So apparently she's there, but no idea why or who she is.
What if it's just a kid? I'm on her scent from time to time. I don't know.
Well, no, that's the thing, is apparently people have spotted her and then gone down to the lobby, you know, be like, hey, someone's kid is wandering around, and there's no kids like staying at the hotel at the time. So
super fun.
Yeah, that's
love that.
A real good time. Oh, so that's all I have for you. This probably hasn't been going on that long, but you know, it's a good time. this is also gonna be
Took us long enough to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be a butt to edit, I'm gonna be honest. So that's all I got for you. So I kind of want to go stay at the Savoy. However, it's called now called 21C Kansas City, which I don't know why they changed the name. I think it's kind of silly, but be kind of fun. I think they probably do ghost tours. Everywhere does.
Right?
Kansas City's haunted, man.
We need to do like a
haunted
ghost right, tour but of we Kansas like City. Need to do like a ghost
like extravaganza.
Like a ghost road trip at some point.
Yes, just to Kansas City.
With all the no, cross country.
Well, yeah, but we'd have to start in Kansas City because like literally there's so many haunted places here. All righty. That's true. So if you have, you know, a story from the Hotel Savoy or 21C Kansas City, you can let us know. You can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. Or you could visit us on our Instagram where I posted just today, which to you will be the other day, about a caterpillar that I found on Josh's shirt. And then quickly put, you know, back in the wild, released back into the wild, found a real life Grumpy. You could check that out on our Instagram as well at Madder Than a Caterpillar.
Or if you have a favorite haunted hotel kind of story that you'd like us to check out and expound upon, you can tweet those at us at Madder Than a Cat on Twitter.
And we also have a Facebook at ITYWU Podcast. Mm. And or what do you call it? I'll tell you what, with a period and seven ellipses. Sorry, I got distracted.
Like, I don't know what you're because, going for.
Because if Tony sent you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he just commented on our Instagram post that I just posted. So I thought I'd share that. Tony sent you. Hi.
Hi.
So, yeah, that's our Facebook page. All right.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah. We're really good at this outro thing.
I know, right? No, but if you're on TikTok and want to see some shenanigans on there, you can find us at Matter the Caterpillar. We post TikToks sometimes.
I posted the video of the caterpillar on there today. So
what is it with this caterpillar, Miranda?
It was so tiny and cute. And Tony corrected me and said it was an inchworm. Inchworms can be caterpillars too.
They have big dreams.
They have big dreams. Anywho, and with that, we'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the ghost of the Victorian child that's living in your closet. And good night.
Don't put that on me.
I could have gone with Betsy Ward. I probably should have because she was mentioned several times.
I can't handle seeing a Victorian child right now.